Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we open the broadcast with just an underscoring the fact that Christianity is distinct from all of the other religions of the world. It is unique. Because unlike other religions, Christianity is rooted in history and in evidence. Not only so, but of all the influential religious leaders of the world, only Jesus Christ claimed to be God in human flesh. And of course, that was not an empty boast, for through the historical reality of the resurrection, Christ vindicated his claim to deity. There are other religions like Buddhism and Islam. They claim miracles in support of their faith. However, unlike Christianity, these miracles lack historical validation. And one final point, and then to our questions, let me say that Christianity is unique in that it is a coherent belief structure. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension. However, unlike the claims of other religions, they are never irrational or contradictory. Christianity is also unique in that it cogently accounts for the vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life. Phenomena like the human mind or the laws of science or the laws of logic or ethical norms or justice, love, meaning in life. The problem raised so often on the broadcast of evil and suffering and, of course, truth. In other words, Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present world condition, and we have the great privilege of communicating all that and more to a lost and searching world. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, or contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up, Elaine, listening in Washington. Hi.
Well, hi.
It is so nice to talk to you.
Hi, I wasn't sure it was you. Okay, so this is a two-parter.
Okay.
So one is, I want to praise God for delivering me from the Jehovah's Witness cult. I want you to share something about communion with them that a lot of people don't know, and then I want to ask you about communion. Is that all right if I just
go for it.
A tidbit of information?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so, excuse me. So when I was a Jehovah's Witness, so picture the scene, 300 people in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they pass the communion, and no one is allowed to take it. Only one person out of 300 will, if they feel, they just have a feeling that they are going to be going to heaven, they take it. A lot of people don't know this. They know that they're not, the witnesses are not allowed to vote, take part in any kind of holidays. But this hurts me so much because I love the blood like you do. And they're not allowed to take it. And, you know, then they start looking up to the people that did take it, one person out of 300, and they are the heavenly class. So I don't know if a lot of people realize they have the two classes, and if they, you know, are in the presence of someone that's going to heaven, it's like they are a very special group of people. So a lot of people don't realize that. Okay.
Just 144,000.
Well, yeah, you and I know the 144,000 who they are, but they think they are. They've exceeded that number. But a lot of people don't realize, and it makes me cry because there's power in the blood, and nobody's allowed to take it except someone that might feel it. And the average Jehovah's Witness does not want to go to heaven because they, believe it or not, want to be on the earth working. I hate to say it, but they do not. It makes me cry. So when I witness to them, I go, you would really give up from being with God to be down here working? And they go, yes. I know it's hard to believe.
So your question is what?
So there's power in the blood. So communion, I believe, I think more like you, and I'd like you to explain it again, because, you know, I just love communion. But I've heard you say that most of the churches, and I'm pretty sure I agree with you, do it differently. And I'm trying to relearn more about the presence of Christ at communion. So can
sure.
you explain it in depth? Because I talk to people, you know, that are supposed to know, and people don't really understand it.
Sure. And for the first 1,000 years of church history, you only had one church, and the practice of communion was therefore universally accepted within the true church as being the real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this continued on, actually, even in the Western church, when the Western church split between the Protestants and the Catholics. Luther was famous for believing in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And in a colloquy with Zwingli in the Marsberg Castle in Germany, Zwingli accused Luther of bread worship and said, how can Christ really be present in the elements? And Luther said, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I will explain to you how Christ can really be present in the elements. And what Luther was saying, and rightly so, is that this is a great mystery. And the Eastern Church never tried to unravel that mystery. They put it in a category like unto the Incarnation and the Trinity. These are mysteries. We believe them, but these are nonetheless mysteries. But this mystery is critical from the perspective of what the church has always taught about theosis, or deification. Luther saying that word became flesh so that flesh might become word. Now, that did not mean that Luther believed that we could become as God is in the Godhead. Rather, he believed that we might become, by partaking in the grace of the Eucharist, what Christ is by nature. We, through that, are brought into the life of the Trinity. So the whole idea was, within the context of the church, to partake of the graces that God so richly lavishes upon us so that we might experience Christ in fullness, the recognition that Christ not only saves us by his death, but he saves us into his life so that we might have life that is life to the full. And Jesus became ultimately clear about this in the Gospel of John, where you have a report of the Lord's own words. It is clear and profound with respect to the living power inherent in the real presence of Christ. When we partake of the mystical supper instituted by our Lord, we live in him, he lives in us. When we do not, we have no life. And again, the words of our Lord are emphatic in this regard. Most assuredly, said Jesus, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And we want to ultimately live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Much more could be said. I'll leave it at that. Many people hanging on. Let's go to Chris in New York, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Actually, good evening. I just want to say I'm blessed I thank the Lord every day for your ministry and what you do, and the ability to listen in every day, which is a blessing in itself. My question is just a little confusion between, not confusion, maybe clarification is needed here. In Proverbs, when Solomon writes about wisdom and how important wisdom is to seek God's wisdom and how it's everywhere, it shouts from the street corners. And then when I read Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, it's just a little confused when he compares the wise man and the fool and how it seems like he's saying death is the great equalizer, but then how Solomon writes that, you know, he was wise in his ways, but he considers that vanity. So I'm just confused. Why would he consider it vanity when the importance of it is so evident in the Word of God, wisdom?
Yeah, it is. And if you have no perspective of eternity, everything is vanity. I mean, you think about a person. I was just reading of someone who died at around 100 years of age, one of the richest men in the world. And you think, whoa, now he leaves all that he accumulated over the years to people. What will they do with it? I remember a good friend of mine, one of the richest people in the world, and he was always concerned about what would happen to his foundation when he died. Who would run the foundation, and would the giving go to causes that he believed in? So he recognized that life is but a vapor here today, gone tomorrow, and all these accumulated riches, you can't take them with you. You can send them on ahead, but you can't take them with you. So the idea here is that if you don't have an earthly if you only have an earthly perspective, everything is vanity, everything is foolishness, everything is vainglory. I love this passage, by the way, the passage you're alluding to, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, when I turn my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also? In other words, just like the fool, I'm going to die? What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. So again, without an eternal perspective, without laying up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, everything is vain glory and foolishness. Only those whose eyes reach beyond mean earthly vanities to eternal verities, only those are the truly wise. Now, here's what's important with Ecclesiastes. You have to read the whole book. And not only that, but read the book in light of what Solomon has said in other places. You have truisms given to us by Solomon in the Proverbs. To go through those every month, I think very, very important. By the way, 31 chapters. Most months have 31 days, and therefore you can go through a chapter a day. But virtually every principle, every maxim for successful daily living encapsulated in the book of Proverbs. Every enterprise becomes strong through wise planning, by staying abreast of the facts, or there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Or honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Well, many, many other proverbs spring to mind, but going through them, you recognize that wisdom is being communicated and done so in a way that you can grasp
and apply to the circumstances of your everyday life. To leave it at that, let me mention a couple of things as we go to break, and then we'll go right back to your calls after the break. If you haven't done so already, consider downloading CRI's Equip app. You can listen, learn, and share on the app, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the app as well. Just go to equip.org/app. And if you haven't done so already, consider prayerfully subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. It is our flagship magazine. Many of the issues that I address on the broadcast are addressed in the Christian Research Journal. Also on the web, you'll see a newsletter chock full of information. That newsletter is also very, very helpful. We're upgrading it all the time, and it is free of charge. You can subscribe to the newsletter on the web at equip.org. For those of you that are not web savvy, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or here's a great solution. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
CRI has partnered with iDonate in order to maximize your non-cash donations like old cell phones, laptops, stock shares, cars, and jewelry. With this partnership, you can donate these items to iDonate, get the appropriate tax write-off, and fund the ongoing ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. For some of us, our wealth is not measured in cash, but by what we have invested in various items. Learn how you can donate these old items and support the ministry outreaches of CRI by going to equip.org/iDonate. That's equip.org/iDonate. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go.
So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Daniel listening in Lexington, Kentucky, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. My question was, does the Bible talk specifically about self-defense, or what is your take on self-defense?
Well, Christians are divided on that subject. There are two schools of thought. One is activism. The other is passivism. The Christian Research Institute historically has held the position that Christians have a right to defend themselves and bear firearms, and that the Bible gives adequate justification for the view that Christians can protect themselves and others from harm and from danger. We get some precedent from passages like Luke 22, which seems to indicate the readiness of the disciples to defend themselves. Luke chapter 13, that the function of governing authorities is to protect the people. In fact, that is what we think within a democracy is the chief function of the ruling authorities. And the reason is based on a worldview that says we're made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we have inherent intrinsic worth. And thus it is critical that we are able to defend those made in the Imago Dei. So again, historical position held by the Christian Research Institute is one of self-defense. We would also point, and I actually wrote about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And what I point out there is that for more than 2,000 years of Western history, of violence, whether expressed in warfare, armed rebellion, or in the employment of a force as a state sanction, and whether wholly or merely licit, has required three criteria to be considered legitimate. The first is that this has to be a reactive as opposed to a proactive kind of warfare that is looking for self-aggrandizement. The second is that this must be declared by a formal authority recognized to have the power to make this kind of a decision for the people. And third, it has to be waged justly. So this is a very important thing that we get from church history and from just war theory. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal that might be helpful to you. It is called The Gun Control Debate: Two Christian Perspectives. You can find it online at equip.org, but that might give you some perspective.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lynn. She's listening in West Virginia. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yes, I have a question. Today I was watching a television program called Shepherd's Chapel. I was just flipping through programs on TV, and it just threw me off. I know you're not supposed to fully, like when you're watching a program, you have to be skeptical, but some things he was saying seemed, you know, believable, but then other things like Cain and Abel were twins but had different fathers, one being Adam and the other being the devil.
Yeah.
Could you clarify that for me?
Well, it's hard to clarify an absurdity, but this is called the serpent seed doctrine, as the idea that Eve had sex with the snake and bore Cain, and therefore you have the Cainites. It is an abominable theory, but it only goes to the surface of his heresy. I mean, if you think of the greatest heresy of Arnold Murray, it would be denying the Trinity, because virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And Arnold Murray does that very thing. He completely destroys the nature of God as given to us in Scripture. This is a classic example of what you have in the fissuring of the church, where you have someone setting himself up as the leader of the Shepherd's Chapel, and now he is communicating all of his absurdities out of a lack of knowledge, out of a lack of biblical acumen, out of a lack of historical acumen, out of a failure to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. And he's, even after his death, continuing to lead people into the abyss. And I think this is a classic example of where James says, "Let not many of you be teachers, for with teaching there is a stricter judgment." So, yeah, this is a horrible, horrible show. Unfortunately, if you have enough money, you can buy TV time, and you can proliferate your nonsense.
All righty, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for your call. Much more could be said, by the way. I think we have some information on the web on Arnold Murray and the Shepherd's Chapel. He is neither a shepherd, nor is this a chapel. He is a wolf, and he, while he was alive and even after his death, as I alluded to earlier, continues to delude many, many people, most people who have been insomnia and they're up late at night and they're flipping the channels and they run across him and the poison continues to spread. Let's talk next to Tom in Delaware, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I have a question here about, I have a pretty good idea of the Gog Magog War and Armageddon, but in chapter 9 of Revelation, the sixth trumpet, the army from the east. Then in the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard the voice of from the four horns of the golden altar, which stands before God, saying to release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And it's going to take us to kill 2.3 billion people. And I'm not sure just exactly where this fits in here with Gog and Magog and the Battle of Armageddon.
Sure.
Do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah. I think the first thing that we would all be wise to do is to read Scripture in light of Scripture. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, you've come across Gog and Magog before, and John is now using this as an illustration of what is taking place in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So one must remember in reading the book of Revelation that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. And if you continue on with the introduction, you see that Jesus made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now, the first observation I would make is that soon and near, in the introduction of the book of Revelation from the lips of Jesus Christ, means soon and near. And as I pointed out in the past, it is an unconscionable abuse of language to say that the Lord's words soon and near mean 2,000 years hence or a far away epoch of time. This is further exacerbated, if you will, as an error when you read the rest of the introduction and immediately recognize that these are letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So these letters are written not to us, but for us, which is to say, if you read the book of Romans, it wasn't written to you, it was written to first century Romans. If you read Corinthians, the same is true, and obviously the same is true vis-a-vis the book of Revelation. So this is about that which will happen soon. And in fact, those who spend any time reading or studying or memorizing the book of Revelation will immediately recognize that this is John's expanded Olivet discourse. Now, how do you recognize that? Well, I mean, you simply read the text. You become conversant with the words themselves. For example, in chapter 6, three chapters earlier from the chapter that you're notating, John watches as the sixth seal is opened, and then he sees a great earthquake. The sun turns black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turns blood red. The stars in the sky fall from the sky to the earth, very much like late figs drop from a fig tree when it's shaken by a strong wind, and then the sky recedes like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island is removed from its place. Now, to take this in a wooden literalistic sense would be absurd. But even worse, it would be a violation of the art and science of biblical interpretation. How can I say that with certainty? Is that those who have read through the Bible even once immediately recognize, I've seen those words many times. I've seen them in the Olivet Discourse. I've seen them in the book of Isaiah. I've seen them in various parts of the Old Testament. And therefore, if I'm reading Scripture in light of Scripture, what do I get out of this? I get out of this that this is apocalyptic language, that John here is using the language of the Old Testament prophets, and he's applying that language to what is going to happen in a huge Holocaust in the first century, where the very edifice that gave the Jews their spiritual and sociological identity is going to be destroyed, just as Jesus had predicted that it would be destroyed, and that within a generation. Now, of course, you have all kinds of skeptics of the Christian faith that take the same language, and they say Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet. If I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, why? Because they take that language in a wooden literalistic perspective and don't recognize that Jesus is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets. He's a far greater prophet than them all. He's simply using the language of destruction, judgment language, and he's applying it to what is going to happen to Jerusalem. So I think the error here in terms of the question itself is the idea that somehow or other this has to do with the 21st century. It does not. I mean, it is applicable to us in terms of principle, and it is like every other book of the Bible. It talks about what's happening in their future as well as in their present. And it's talking about what's going to happen in the case of Revelation when the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband. There's no sense in which we have to take this and apply it to the modern epic. The bottom line is, if you're addicted to Jerusalem below, you're in bondage, says Paul, Galatians 4. The Jerusalem above, however, he says, is free. And she is our mother. Right back with more answers to your questions and the quote of the day.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission. They're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from the Egyptian cleric and the Al-Zahar lecturer. This is the famous university in Cairo, Egypt. His name is, I'm probably going to butcher this, but do the best I can with it. My apologies if I didn't get your name right, Dr. Fuad Mukenheimer, or Mukheimer.
Anyway, he devoted an article to the topic of Ramadan, and that is, of course, fast approaching where I live, and certainly on the West Coast, which is 3 hours ahead of us, but already has fallen in places like Egypt. And we've seen the grisly side of Ramadan with the Muslim massacre of Christians. The mass genocide of Christians is an atrocity that I still can't for the life of me believe is not being covered in the news with a whole lot more attention and fluidity. But anyway, he said this, and this is not a quote that I want you to memorize or a quote that I think is a quote that has anything to do with truth, but it does explore and exploit and expose what's going on in run-of-the-mill Islam. So during his lecture and in an article devoted to the topic of Ramadan, he clarified the connection between fasting and jihad in run-of-the-mill Islam. And so the quote of the day is as follows. Education for fasting has not been limited to preparing Muslims for battle and imbuing them with the meaning of soldiering, but also including waging honorable battles during the month of Ramadan, to the point where this month came to be called the month of jihad. The Nation of Islam came to be called the jihad-fighting nation, and its moral values came to be called the values of warfare. Now, again, I'm saying this is mainstream, run-of-the-mill. Why can I say that with any clarity? All I had to do is pick up the classic manual on Islamic law and read it for yourself, and then you get a great perspective on the difference between those who are creating a narrative and saying, no, this is an inner war, this is an inner struggle to overcome the inner demons. No, if you read the classic manual on Sharia, you find out that nothing could be farther from the truth. So what's important? When you live in a post-truth culture, you gotta find truth. And I've written a book called Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It is going to be rolling out October 10th. Hopefully all my chemo will be done by then. And in that book, I use the acronym Muslim to give you a memorable way of knowing what Islam is all about so that you do not bite into the poison apple, swallow the skin of the truth, stuff with a great big lie. Let's go to another question. This one is not a Facebook question. Let's mix it up a little bit. An email question. Wondering if Hank or someone there could give me your thoughts on Rob Bell. Oh, my goodness. Red Love Wins was not happy with his theology. A friend asked if I wanted to go hear him speak. My stomach turned. Holy Spirit or just me being stuck somewhere in Missouri Lutheran land? No, thank God that your stomach turned, because this is a stomach-turning teacher. But just another example of the fissuring of the church. More and more expressions of Christianity. In Rob Bell's case, it is leaving the old Christianity behind, and we're going to present a new enlightened Christianity in which there is no hell. Of course, that's the least enlightened thing that anyone could say, because it makes God a moral monster. But not only that, if you listen to what he speculates about, it is stomach-turning. I'll give an example. He speculated that if Jesus had a real earthly biological father named Larry, I don't know how he came up with that name, but so what if Jesus had a real biological, note the word biological, father named Larry, and archaeologists find Larry's tomb, and then they do DNA samples and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the virgin birth was really just a bit of mythologizing. In other words, what if they discovered
that this whole virgin birth thing was untrue. Well, what Bell says is we would essentially not lose any significant part of the faith because it is more about how we live. But now think about that. If, in fact, Rob Bell's speculation has some validity to it, what do we have? Well, Mary would become a sexually sinful woman who conceived Jesus illegitimately. And if the virgin conception were untrue, then, of course, everything changes in the biblical narrative. We'd have a sexually promiscuous woman lying about God's miraculous hand in the birth of Jesus and raising that son to declare that he is God and then joining his faked religion. So if we are willing to disbelieve the virgin conception, we're flatly and plainly stating that the scripture contains many errors, and not only that, outright lies. So my question becomes, how does this make Rob Bell any better than Bart Ehrman? These are people who are simply reading the Bible in however fashion they see fit to read it. They hang up their own shingles. In the case of Bart Ehrman, he started a cottage industry writing books, denying the Christian faith after being a fundamentalist Christian. In the case of Rob Bell, he's kind of repackaged Christianity in his own train, in his own kind of theological perspective. And unfortunately, there are just many, many, hundreds of thousands of people that fall for this nonsense. And as the church continues to fissure, you're going to have people from many, many strains that are teaching this kind of nonsense. And I think it's just a horrible thing. And hopefully people will wise up and start testing all things in light of Scripture and holding fast to the good. This is a person teaching pernicious heresy within the body of Christ, but he's got the gift of gab and he's very charismatic. And so what's happening is people are buying into it a wholesale, and the devastation, the people falling out the back doors of churches and conventions, and after reading books like the book that Rob Bell wrote, they're falling out the back of churches and finishing books and not knowing who to believe or what to trust anymore. Again, this is all part and parcel of the fissuring of Christianity. Joe next in San Francisco, California. He's listening on the web. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I've been listening to your show on and off from back in the 80s when you were on a station over on East Bay. Radio for Life. I can't remember. Life at 1100.
Oh, wow.
That's the first time I heard it. Well, anytime.
Are you trying to say I'm old, Joe?
Over the years. Excuse me?
Are you trying to say I'm old?
No, I'm saying I'm old. I'll never see this side of 60 again.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I've written your CRI on a few occasions to take you guys to task. And I noticed today I was looking at your website, and I saw you quoting Callisto Ware.
Yeah.
Timothy? Father Timothy?
Yeah, Timothy
anyway,
Ware.
I'm Eastern Orthodox, in case you can't tell. I belong to the same jurisdiction you belong to.
Huh.
Anyway, you were very critical of his book that he wrote about the Orthodox Church. And you took him to task on several things on the paper that the CRI published about Eastern Orthodoxy. And I wrote back and took you guys to task on them, and I never heard back from you again. I never heard back from CRI. Anyway, do you still hold to some of those positions, or have you fallen in line with the patristic thought of the Orthodox Church? And as a layman within the Orthodox Church, do you let it be known that some of the things that you say currently are pious opinions and they're not dogmatic theology of the Orthodox Church, because we don't have all that much dogmatic theology.
Yeah. Well, look, one of the things that I've had to humbly do as president of the Christian Research Institute is say we were wrong. And I've been willing to say that, not ever sweep it under the rug. I did that with a move of the Holy Spirit that's called the Lord's Recovery, or the local churches. We did a six-year primary research project in that case, and in big letters, in a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, I just said we were wrong. Now, I was not the fountainhead of that misinformation. It preceded me. But I was president of the Christian Research Institute, so I took full responsibility for it. And so saying I am wrong is something that I'm comfortable with. And if I am wrong, I'm going to say it, not sweep it under the rug. And I think the same thing is true with respect to what you're talking about. This is not something that I wrote. However, it is something that I'm responsible for. Secondly, or maybe thirdly, with respect to what you just said, I think that's a wonderful way of putting it. I don't think that I'm an adequate spokesperson for Orthodoxy. I am a grasshopper on the landscape of Orthodoxy. I've been in this treasure chest for only 3 to 5 years in terms of my study, and so I hardly qualify as an adequate spokesperson at this point. I do as well love the fact that you pointed out in a fairly clear way that much of what you find in Eastern Orthodoxy is not codified in snarling logicality, but rather in mystery. I hate mystery when it cloaks something that someone is they're trying to cloak a contradiction. It's mystery that just drives me crazy. But I'm talking about mysteries like the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of the Trinity, and the mystery of the Eucharist. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Appreciate your call, Joe. And we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks to all of those that continue standing with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience.
You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.